Before you're seated, go say hi to someone today. Say, hey, it's great to see you today on Mother's Day. God bless you. You may be seated. Good morning, church. My name is Andy. We welcome you here today. We have a very special day. It's Mother's Day. And if you are new here, we do take sermon notes. It gives us an opportunity to hear the word, but also to apply it to our lives this week. You can get it on our church app or website. Today's going to be a little different because you're going to hear a video, a testimony. It's about 10 minutes long of motherhood. It's from Anik, Pastor Anik, and also Isabel today. So you're going to get a picture of our family, and then we'll go into today's message. So let's watch this little video together.
Pookie Wookie, little cutie patootie. Okay, let's go.
Happy Mother's Day, Home Church. We're so happy you're able to join us for Mother's Day this Sunday. We were supposed to preach this Sunday, but instead of preaching, we decided to interview my mom.
So should we do this again? That's the word I'm looking for. I think my first answer was better the first time.
Give me a minute. Let me catch my bearing.
You may know her from leading worship, or you've seen her newly renovated foyer. Or perhaps you've watched her chase down volunteers who did not check their availability on Planning Center.
You know who you are.
Or maybe you've seen her pull up in a massive black SUV, walking with teenagers, coffee, giant water bottle, and a backpack in hand.
Every mother's survival kit.
Who are you behind all of these things?
Okay, well, first and foremost, I am a wife to Andy. I am a mom to four kids. Mm-hmm. Isabel's my oldest. Then Joseph, Ben, and Sam. I'm a dog mom to our 9-year-old Labrador. Louise is her name, and she's lovely. Mm-hmm.
Rapid fire questions. Don't overthink it. Just whatever comes to your mind, answer it.
Okay.
What's your favorite food?
Steak.
What's your favorite color?
Black, pink, black.
Favorite hobby?
Gardening and golfing.
Nice shot.
Favorite child? Okay, we'll come back to that one. Where are you from?
I'm from a very small town of Canal Flats in the East Kootenays of BC. Like no street lights, hardly any stop signs. Very small.
You ended up with four kids.
Four kids in 6 years.
Life is busy?
Busy, but in the best way busy.
Right.
Someone would have told me on our wedding day that we would have been parents to four kids, and then later on pastoring in Vancouver, we wouldn't have believed you.
So you're surprised you have four kids?
I am. Two was the plan. And then two were surprises, so we'll let you guess which ones.
So since I'm planned, I'm the favorite, right? We'll circle back. How many times in a day did you say take off your shoes?
Too many to count.
How many times a day do you say wash your hands?
The limit does not exist.
What's your favorite thing to do with your kids?
Traveling. I love loading everybody up in a vehicle. We're towing a trailer and we're on road trips and we're just gone. Favorite thing.
So your love language is towing?
Apparently, yes, towing.
What age of parenting has been your favorite?
Right now, I would say. I mean, they're all really, really special. Mm-hmm. But in the moment, you don't realize that it's your favorite until it's passed. But right now it's fun because our relationships are transitioning from parenting to friendship, and I really like that. Mm-hmm.
What was the hardest age to parent?
Honestly, I found having two kids harder than four, only because you and Joe were 13 months apart, mm-hmm. and you're in survival mode. You're barely sleeping, you're living on caffeine, and you have two babies, and so that was pretty tiring.
Mm-hmm. You've never lied to your kids?
Yes, but it was necessary. Well, Tooth Fairy, Santa Claus, mm-hmm. hiding the chocolate from your kids and then secretly eating it in the closet. All good lies.
Fair enough. Which child asked the most questions?
Joseph.
Who negotiated bedtime?
Sam.
Who was the family comedian?
Ben.
Who had the most injuries?
You. You were bit by a snail. A snail. You were run over by the dog. We thought she broke her collarbone. Chipped teeth, usually from the boys. Bite marks, usually from the boys.
So most of my injuries weren't because of me, they were from other family members.
The boys, yes, 100%.
Who was most likely to disappear in a store?
You, Miss Independent, Miss Wanderer. She's 100% the oldest child. She can do it. She can do anything by herself. She's good.
Who's the most affectionate with hugs?
Joseph.
Most affectionate with words?
Ben.
Hardest to say no to?
Probably Sam, but I do say no to him.
Which child is most likely to join you in a fist fight with a stranger?
Ben. Ben's got my back. He's got my temper, and we're probably gonna go to jail together.
Right. Yeah. Who borrows your stuff without asking?
The answer to that will always be Isabel.
Who eats all the snacks?
Joseph and Ben.
Who says mom most dramatically?
Sam, and then it's usually followed by a bruh.
Which child was basically born an adult?
Joseph.
Okay, finish the sentence.
Okay.
Joe taught you.
Joseph taught me consistency. Mm-hmm. He's steady, he's loyal, and he's pretty constant.
Benjamin taught you.
To laugh, to feel deeply.
Samuel taught you.
To slow down. The days are long and the years are short, and him being my baby, he's taught me just to enjoy the moments.
Mm-hmm. I taught you.
Confidence. You switched on a maternal switch in me that I didn't know I had. Mm-hmm. And you're fearless. You've always tackled things confidently, and even if you were afraid, you never showed it. Mm-hmm. And so she just always carried this confidence and fearlessness.
What's the best parenting advice you've ever received?
Two things that Andy and I are husband and wife before we are mom and dad. So those titles are very different. And then to protect the system of husband and wife. And then just being on the same team when we parent. The second one would be something super simple. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. And so just being consistent with our yeses and our nos with our kids. Mm-hmm. Best advice.
What has motherhood taught you?
That love multiplies. Love doesn't divide. Love evolves. I thought I couldn't love another child as much as I love my oldest. I loved them equally, but very differently. And so love just multiplies. Mm-hmm.
When your children remember you, what do you hope they remember?
I hope they remember the joy. I hope they remember the dance parties in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. I hope they remember the memories that we try to create for them, like our traveling or even ministry, like going to History Maker or like Disneyland, just all the things that we got to do together as a mm-hmm. family. I hope they picture my face. They picture me smiling back at them, not always, I told you, like, I don't know. I hope for that. I want you guys to remember me smiling.
What would you tell young parents today?
I would say make your home a safe place for honest questions. No topic was ever off limits for you guys. So if our kids were brave enough to come to us and ask the question, we were gonna respond to our kids and answer to them honestly.
Mm-hmm. What has God taught you through parenting?
That in my weakness, he's strong, that I'm an imperfect person, and he comes in and fills those areas in my parenting with my kids that I significantly mm-hmm. lack in. When I am weak, he is strong, and that includes parenting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one last question. Have you decided who your favorite child is?
Oh my gosh.
Have you decided who your favorite child is? You can blink if it's me. You can tell me later.
Happy Mother's Day.
Say Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. It's me. I'm here.
So we honor all the moms in the room, all the grandmas, all the spiritual moms, all the daughters. Thank you for being here today. And hopefully, whatever your favorite food is, Annex is steak. So whatever that is for you, hopefully you can enjoy Mother's Day today. I want to encourage you today, just everyone in the room, but also moms in the room, of this reality of what it means to be raised to life, to experience spiritual freedom in our lives. And it's interesting to note that in the Bible, we see 365 times that the Lord says, do not fear. Do not be afraid or do not worry. It is interesting to note that every day of the year, we hear these whispers throughout Scripture, do not be afraid. It's important to hear these words, but also practice these words, because these words give us courage. They give us the opportunity to reach our full potential in Christ as a mom, as a dad, as a daughter, as a grandpa, as a grandma. Wherever you are in your everyday stage of life, God calls us to reach our full potential, not in ourselves, but in God, as He whispers to us, do not fear, do not worry, do not be afraid. But we have to ask ourselves, what does this actually mean? Like, what does it mean to truly not be afraid? Can we fear but also have courage? Can we sometimes worry but at the same time not let it cripple us? Well, we see this through the example of Jesus, of being new creations in Christ Jesus. The Spirit of the living God in the New Testament reality means the Spirit of God lives within you. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would come upon someone, but did not live in someone. In the New Testament reality, because of Jesus, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now dwells in you, meaning that God gives us the courage to live this life in Christ Jesus, to live this life to reach our full potential in Christ. And we are in this sermon series that sometimes, like we mentioned, life is not fair. Life is not necessarily kind to us at times. And because of that, we all have our fears, our failures, and sometimes our mishaps. And it creates broken habits. It creates broken hurts in us, and also gives us hang-ups that we need to overcome through the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And sometimes we want to isolate or we want to hide rather than actually lean in and let the Holy Spirit heal us. So when Jesus went to the cross, He did the work for us. But we also have to do the work as well. To put our hang-ups and our hurts on the cross to experience spiritual freedom. So how can we experience freedom in our lives? How can we reach our full potentials as mom and dads in the room? How can we honor our parents and honor our mom and honor each other and family when it comes to the hurts and the hang-ups of life? Well, the first thing that we see here today is that we actively trust God. This does not mean that we passively trust God or that we believe in God. We actually act out this faith in Jesus Christ. It means that we actively put our confidence in God. The smartest person of all time is remarkably King Solomon. And he said this about 4,000 years ago. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not in your own understanding, but in all your ways, submit to Him or trust Him, and He will make your paths straight. Now, this doesn't mean your path, how you want life to be done, or what you think life needs to be done. No, it means to trust God, to give everything to Him, and He will make our path smooth. It's not a highway that you see every area of your life, but it's kind of more like going around a corner. You don't know what that corner has for you, but we do know that the Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ, is with us and helps us to move smoothly. And when we trust God, there's a promise. There's a promise that God will actively work on our behalf. There's a story of this with Abraham and Isaac, a son to a dad in Genesis chapter 22. Now, instead of reading it to you, I want to give you a picture of AI art about it, okay? So this is AI art. You see that there is Abraham. He's kind of the older guy there, and his son named Isaac. In this picture, Abraham is roughly around 100 years old, maybe a little bit older, and his son is a young adult. You need to understand this because God speaks to Abraham and says, go to the mountain because I want you to sacrifice to as an act of worship to God. Now, we don't know what that looks like, but in the Old Testament, when God spoke, we see that Abraham actually said, okay, God spoke, I'm going up the mountain with my son, and we are going to sacrifice. Now, in saying this, in the Old Testament narrative, in culture, people would sacrifice their kids to a god named Molech. And they did this out of an act of blessing. If I sacrifice my kid, God's going to bless me. Now, we don't sacrifice our kids physically anymore in most contexts, but sometimes we sacrifice our kids to get a blessing. We want our kids to do our things rather than do what God calls our kids to. There's a difference. Sometimes we have our own plans, ways, and strategies, but God also has his way, best, and strategy. And we see this in this story. Isaac is supposed to be the promised child. Isaac is supposed to set up his dad for life. And here we hear a story of God saying, I want you to sacrifice your son. It's a crazy story. But it's not a crazy story in this time, because this was happening in other contexts with two other gods. And so God speaks to Abraham, and Abraham trusts that God would provide. And we see that Isaac is taking the sacrifice or the altar up the mountain. It's a three-day journey. It's like going up Grouse Grind. But instead of you going by yourself, your son or your daughter is carrying the weight for you. They're the ones going up the mountain with you, and you are walking behind knowing that the Lord has said to sacrifice your son. You see, this story is really a series of trusts. We see that Abraham trusts God, but Isaac also trusts his dad. So he goes up the mountain. And we see that in this scene that Isaac is the one that builds the altar. He puts himself on the altar. And then Abraham brings out a knife ready to sacrifice his son. Now, again, pretty crazy story here. And we'll unpack this together. But in that story, Abraham doesn't say, God, where are you? We don't say, Isaac, Dad, you are crazy. You're about to kill me here. No, Abraham knows that God's going to provide. Isaac knows that God's going to provide. And so it's not a crazy story per se, as much as a story of trust. And then we see another scene that God provides because an angel of the Lord shows up and says, Abraham, Abraham. And it is a context of perhaps an imagery of who Christ is, as we see in the Old Testament. And then he provides a lamb or a ram, provides a sacrifice that day that God shows up. Hear me, parents. Hear me, daughters, spiritual moms, mothers, grandmas in the room. God doesn't call us to sacrifice our kids. God calls us to bring our kids to the Lord, and he will provide. He will provide. And we see this story simply because it's a story of trust. So what's really going on here? What does this mean for us today of finding spiritual freedom in our hurts and our habits and our stress? Well, we see that this story is really a story of trusts. Life is a series of trusts. As I have mentioned, Abraham trusts God, but he has trusted God for his whole life because of the faithfulness of God. We see that Isaac trusts his son, trusts his dad because of a life series of trusts with their dad. God provided in the last moment in this story, but Abraham and Isaac knew that God would provide. Why? Because God provided in the past. You see, life is a series of trusts. And this is important for our own lives because in a broken and failed world, who do you trust? Where does your trust lie? Because I need to share with you today, because of life, trust is not just a series of trusts, but trust is strengthened when it's tested. It's one thing to say to you today that you are my friend. It's one thing for you to say that I am your friend. But if we were truly friends, then we were going to go for coffee. We're going to hang out together. We're going to talk about life. It's all those good things. That's what friendship does. But in the same sense, I am not necessarily your friend if we don't truly hang out. So trust is tested. It needs to be strengthened, not in our own power or our own ways, but we are actually meant to strengthen trust. A better word to say is confidence or faith. Confidence in a relationship or a friendship is built over time. It's the same with the Lord. Now, let me hear this today to you today, is that trust is not a blind trust. It's not an ignorant trust or an arrogant trust. It's trust in Jesus. So trust is really putting our confidence in the words and the ways and the life of Jesus, because he's trustworthy. Think of it for a second. Jesus' words, his ways, and his life through the resurrection of Jesus actually came true. He predicted his death. He predicted his resurrection. He knew every word that he was going to say actually came true. There's still some words that we are still waiting for to come true, but we can trust his words because his words actually became true. In other words, he's trustworthy. In a broken, failed world, Jesus is not broken, or he has never failed. How amazing is that? So you and I don't trust because life is a series of trusts. We don't trust because life needs to be strengthened through tests. No, we trust because of what Jesus has done for us, and therefore we can trust in the midst of our life. How about you today? Do you trust in Jesus? Not just cognitively, not just passively, but actively. As human beings in this room, we don't trust very well at times. We become skeptical of trust. We're critical in nature. We judge as a default. People let us down. Life lets us down. We let others down. And because of this, we can have broken, hard hearts. And sometimes we rather take control of something rather than trust God with everything. But as we see through the Old Testament narrative with Abraham, as we see with the wisest person of all time, King Solomon, as we see with the words and the life and the acts of Jesus, maybe here today we should trust God. So the question comes, do you trust God with your needs? Do you trust God with your life? Do you trust God in all things? And this includes our health, our finances. It includes our relationships, our future, our hurts. Do you trust God with church life and the church that God has put you in? Do you trust God in your past? Do you trust God with your family and your kids? Do you trust to give control over the things you do not and cannot have control over and trust that God will provide? We see that with Abraham and Isaac. Abraham doesn't doubt God. He doesn't fight with God. He doesn't rationalize himself. He simply listens, knowing that God would provide. And even though that's a crazy pinnacle story, as we have seen that trust is a series of trusts over time, it's because trust brings clarity through process. It's a lamp unto our feet. God reveals himself in everyday life. Fear not. Do not worry. Do not be afraid. And all the times that Scripture talks about those three things, it's because of the reality that we see God is with you. Or, for I am with you, God says. So we don't fear for fear's sake. We do not worry for worry's sake. We bring all those concerns to the Lord because he is with us. We need to realize, too, that the opposite of trust is trying to control something we cannot, including our kids. Mistrust breeds fear, anxiety, stress, overwhelmed by the things of the world. The best thing that I can put it in this way is that when we try to control things we cannot, we actually create or recreate stress in our life. You see, when we choose to trust God, there's peace. When we choose to trust God, there's centeredness. When we choose to trust God, we give something over to God that we have just gone through so that we can activate God to work with us. But when we try to control things, there's fears that come up. There's anxiety or stress. The promise of trusting God is peace. This is how Paul put it to a church in Philippi who was actually wrestling through some hard times. They were wrestling through persecution. They were wrestling through their founding pastor, Paul, being in prison, not knowing what was going to happen. There's high anxiety in the church. They didn't know what the future was going to be like. And this is what Paul says to them in a letter that he gave out of thankfulness to them. Do not be anxious about anything, he says. But in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Give your burdens, your fears, your hurts, your pains, those unspoken realities, the bad habits, the secrets, the bondage, the walls that we put up around ourselves from not reaching our full potential. Bring them to God. And this is the promise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, all our frustration and questions, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. As you see, the sign of bringing all our requests to him is peace. But a sign of control is fear, anxiety, and stress. That's why we have church. That's why we have response time after every service, so that you can bring your requests and prayers to God. You can get a prayer card, and you can pray every day for our church or for you. You can do that in your washroom. You could do that in your car on a commute. You can do that in your bedroom. You can pray anytime, any place, anywhere. You can join one of our many home groups and find times of prayer together, because it gives us opportunity to experience God's peace in the midst of a fearful, insecure, stressed out world. Prayer works. You know, it's getting nice out. Maybe you like to hike or you like to bike. Why don't you pray and whisper to God? Bring your requests to him and you will see God move. We sang a song that even though you don't feel it or know it at times, God is working. And parents in the room, if I encourage the ladies in the room, the best parent to partner with is the Holy Spirit. You can't be everywhere. You can't do everything. You can't provide all things, but the Holy Spirit can. Bring your kids to the Lord and let God move and provide for them. Don't sacrifice your kids. Provide by giving them and partnering with the Holy Spirit. Pray for your kids by name. Pray for God's ways, not your own ways, to thrive with your kids. Gives us an opportunity for God to work. It helps us to be resilient. And when Paul penned these letters, more than likely he's in house arrest in Rome. In fact, we're going to Rome in October for a resilient retreat of what it means to be a true follower of Jesus. Feel free to join us if you like. The prices are set too, so everything that's happening in Iran and gas prices, yes, praise the Lord, won't affect you. But in saying this, when we bring our prayers and requests to God, we experience God's peace. It's not a human-made up peace. It's not a bought peace. It's a peace that you can't even seek. It's a peace that God gives when you bring your prayers and requests to God. Another imagery we see here is in Revelation chapter 8. This is the concept of the cosmos when you pray. John puts it this way, that when you pray, your prayers are brought to the throne room of God. The angel of the Lord goes through your prayers, and he mixes it with worship and praise. You see, when we worship and praise God today, we can bring our requests up to him. And it's mixed with incense. That's what the Bible says, meaning to purify our prayers. Sometimes we have selfish prayers. Sometimes we have broken prayers or hurtful prayers. That's okay. Because when you hit the throne room, God brings it together and he purifies your prayers. And then as you can see, there's lightning rods coming down, and you see that in Revelation, those prayers are answered with velocity and precision and with all the energies of heaven hitting a prayer request in his own time, in his own ways, and his all his power. You see, God answers prayer all the time. You might not see it. You might not know it. You might not even like the answer, but God will answer your prayers. God works even when we cannot. He's always working. When we are weak, he is strong. When we sleep, he's working. When we're not present, he's working. When we feel tired, he is working. He never ceases working. And when you pray, all of the velocity and power of heaven is coming down to earth, John says. It's not just a prayer request. It's not just a popcorn prayer. It's not just a cry. The Holy Spirit wants to meet your needs and to bring your prayers to him. When you do, you experience peace. When you pray, it gives us an opportunity to say, God, I don't trust in my own ways. I won't put my family or context or things I can't control in my own ways. I trust that you're going to move as I pray and I bring my prayers to you. And when we trust God, it gives God the opportunity to be activated, to work, speak, and move on our behalf. One of the best things that my mom has ever done for me as a punk kid was her prayers. Her prayers. Her prayers frustrated me when I wanted to rebel away from the Lord. Those prayers protected me from things over again and again and again when my mom or my dad were not present. I remember that the Holy Spirit would whisper to me and keep my heart soft when my parents weren't around or I was on a basketball trip somewhere. God is always present. He is always working. He is the best person to partner with when you cannot be that parent for your kid. You lift them up to the Lord. The best thing you can do as a parent, as a grandparent, as a daughter, as a mom, as a son, as a father, is to pray for your family. Let the Holy Spirit partner with you. And not only that, bring your prayers, your frustrations, your anxiety, your stress to the Lord, and you will experience his peace. His burden is light. So we have to ask ourselves this. How do we experience spiritual freedom today? We bring our requests to God. How do we reach our full potential in Jesus? We choose to trust him because life is a series of trusts. I wish I could say that it's a magic coin or a magic key that everything's going to be great for you because you come as a follower of Jesus. No, but you can experience redemption and healing and wholeness and live a significant, powerful life as you allow God to take control of your life rather than yours. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward. And because the last thing, we experience spiritual freedom when we bring our cares to him. So, in closing, friends, as we allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us, you see, the Old Testament narrative is that the Holy Spirit would come upon people like Abraham and God would speak. But the Holy Spirit didn't live in Abraham. As followers of Jesus in the New Testament reality, because of Jesus, the Holy Spirit now lives within you. And when I ask these three questions, I choose to trust that God is speaking to you. Not to a hard heart, not to a busy heart, not to a judgmental heart or a religious heart, but an open heart to the Lord because of what Jesus has done for you today. So, in closing, what fears, anxieties, and stress do you need to bring to the Lord today? Maybe it is one of your children. Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's health. Maybe it's past brokenness or being let down. I don't know. But what can you bring to the Lord today? Because when you bring it to the Lord, it gives you an opportunity to experience, not know, cognitively, but know spiritually, to know in the very center of your being that God is worth to be trusted because of what he's done for you. Maybe you're here and you're new here today, and I just want to encourage you that Jesus loves you, that he died on the cross for you, and that on the third day he was raised from the dead. It's a historical fact. And the reason he did that is so that you can find not death, but life today. And you invite Jesus into your heart. You invite Jesus into your situation. You invite Jesus into your soul. You say, God, I don't want to try to do this life alone any longer. I invite you because I know that you've died for me. You love me and you set me free from sin so that I can reach my full potential in Christ Jesus. So reflect on that situation. Maybe it is the cross. Maybe it's a past thing. And then lastly, as we start in today's message, fear not, worry not. Do not be afraid with the reality that Jesus is for you, with you, and wants to work through you. And these passages of scripture talk about what the Bible says about fear and anxiety. It's these words, fear not, worry not, do not be afraid, for the Holy Spirit is with you. To partner with you, Mom, to partner with you, Grandma, to partner with you in your loneliness, in your bitterness, in your rejection, to be let down, or if you think you're a failure, God is with you. He's for you. He wants to heal you. And as parents in the room, as I can encourage you today, partner with the Holy Spirit because he is the best parent. Because he knows the best for your kids, and he knows the best for your family, and he knows the best for your life. So as we go into a time of response, I'm going to ask Pastor Paul and Janice and myself to be here. If you have a prayer request, don't leave this place not giving that request to the Lord. If you are stressed out, you deal with anxiety or human brokenness, don't leave this place until you bring it to the Lord. And you don't have to come to the front for that. You can do that right now, today, where you are, as we worship him, to bring your cares and frustrations to him so that you can experience freedom in Christ Jesus. And for parents in the room, just a simple encouragement as a parent. Our role as parents is not to sacrifice our kids for our own ways, but to bring our kids to the Lord, and he will provide all things. He will provide. He will guide. He will mend. He will heal. He will soften. So let's stand together, and we invite the Holy Spirit to lead us. So God, I pray for every single person here today that we would hear the words, do not fear, do not worry, do not be afraid, for you are with us. And Lord, that we would experience spiritual freedom today, that we would choose to trust you as life is a series of trusts, that we would see families bend and trust one another and love one another as we see with Abraham and Isaac. Lord, that we wouldn't trust in our own ways or our own experience or our own wisdom, but to trust in your ways, and that we would see life become smooth again because of who you are. And even in the midst of human brokenness and the hardness of this world, Lord, let us choose to trust you simply because of what you've done at the cross. You took the hardest road of all life and eternity itself so that we can experience the joy, the beauty, the truth of Jesus today. Help us to give our cares, our prayers, and our stress to you. And if I can say it here today, friends, would you heal people afresh who've been holding on to stuff for too long? Friend, God, Jesus wants to heal you and set you free. This isn't for a new person in this room. This is people who've been in church for a long time. wants to heal you. Don't have to manage it or hide it or isolate. God just wants you to bring it to Him. And so we invite you, Holy Spirit, to do what you can as we worship you today. Let's worship Him.